Our hearts are with the families devastated by the Los Angeles wildfires. We encourage you to join us in supporting those impacted by donating what you can. Trusted organizations like the American Red Cross and the LA Fire Department Foundation are providing critical relief, and the K-Watch Party is proud to contribute to their efforts. Please share this message and inspire others to give. Thank you, K-Watchers. Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today we have Squid Game Season 2. We've got all the episodes, we binged it like everybody else, and we're binging it with you guys. Player 456, oh how we missed you. We've got new characters, new games, same front man. Let's dig in. Hello, Juliet, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. You know? Your hair's looking fab.
Oh, is it?
You've got a shirt on.
I had to get dressed up because I had to go somewhere this morning and see actual people, so I had to make an impression. But you know, it's weighing heavily on my heart what is happening in LA.
Yes, LA as of this recording is still dealing with wildfires.
It is so heart-wrenching, and this is not the approach to take, but it's so overwhelming for me now that I can't look at anything related to it.
Yes, definitely hard to watch. Very devastating. Thing about it is it's 100 acres in 15 minutes. So it spreads like crazy.
It spreads so quickly, which I think is also why so many people didn't expect it to hit their home so quickly.
Yeah.
And then I think there has been a lot of confusion around evacuation notices and whatnot. But also because it's so residential, it's like so suburban.
Yeah.
It feels like something that we haven't experienced before.
Well, my parents live in fire zone. They're in North LA and they live along a foothill of this mountain range there. Even today, my husband comes in, he's like, there's a new fire. It's half a mile from your parents' house. Evacuation, like it was red.
Yeah.
So I call my mom. I'm like, hey, so did you see there's the new fire? And she's like, oh, is there? We've just been out.
Out where?
Dad had a doctor's appointment, so we're just getting back right now. She's like, I'm packed. Don't worry. Like, nonchalant queen.
Well, okay.
Cannot be bothered.
Nonchalant queen. Apple does not fall far from that tree, because that sounds exactly like something you would say.
No, she's seen her share of
wildfires.
There was a fire, huge fire in her backyard, like 5 years ago. She had evacuated, and my brother was watching like a local news feed from New York. And he's like, that looks like my house, my parents' house. And it turned out to be my parents' house was on TV. The fire had was burning the trees in their backyard. And there were firefighters in our backyard hosing it down.
What?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you're hearing like, oh, Paris Hilton saw her house burn down on TV. Like, truly, that's how most people actually see anything, is my mom would have, her house was saved, luckily, by those firefighters. But that's how you see your house burn down, is on TV. It's crazy.
That is wild.
Sending good vibes to all of our LA listeners, my family included. Yeah. I was texting my friends who live right near my parents, like they had to get evacuated, just good vibes to everyone out there. It feels like a continuation of what we were talking about last week of just kind of like not great stuff in the news.
It is nonstop, not just natural disasters.
Yeah.
There's the news just came out today that the Supreme Court most likely will ban TikTok, which is,
really thought they were turning it around.
I joke because, you know, this like my lifeline, but I thought for sure it being at least a business located in the United States and many people rely on it for their
income.
Own livelihood.
Yeah.
And they employ a lot of people. That there would be a workaround, or that eventually Trump would save it. I guess he's not yet sworn into office. So,
yeah, that is, what are you going to do? How are you going to get your news? How will you spend your night?
I'm going to become a Luddite. I will not engage with my phone any longer.
You're going to wear a analog wristwatch?
Yep, right. I'm going to look at the sun to know what time it is. And I will have no idea what is happening in the world. And I'm okay with it. You know, I actually did imagine what would my world be like without TikTok. I honestly probably would never look at my phone. That's the only, these days.
No, you text message people.
Text, okay, yeah, but.
There's a lot of coordinating on text that basically is 91% of what I spend my time doing.
Yes, on the phone. Text messages, looking at my calendar, but I could do that on my computer.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Outside of that, I would have no real reason to get on my phone.
Wordle? You're not going to play Wordle?
My son is obsessed with the New York Times games. And yes. so he plays all the games. And then I'm like,
yeah,
dang it.
My kids have to ask permission to do Wordle on my phone because they can do it on their iPads. Oh. So then everyone in the family can do Wordle together. But they have to ask special permission to take the Wordle from me for that day. So literally when they come home, the first question is, did you do Wordle today? And then we can all do it together. So
no, okay. I need to ask a question. How do you get your daughters
to ask me for permission?
To ask for permission, because I say you cannot look at my phone. You know, I will be like, you know, the phone is not for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You ask me. And then he just takes it. Like, he wakes up super early, and I always charge my phone downstairs because I don't like it near me. And then he wakes up super early. He's already gone through Strands, through Connections, through Wordle. All the games I wanted to play. The one thing he cannot play is Crossword because it's, you know, still it's like too complicated. So tell me, I need some parenting tips.
I don't know. I don't. My kids are permission askers. They always have been. Even like snacks, like they don't dig in the pantry for stuff. Yeah, they always ask if they can have like the things that they know they need permission for. I mean, look, and it's not humble bragging. I don't know why.
Oh,
it might be because my older is a rule follower.
She's a rule follower,
and
right.
So I think my younger kind of just has followed in her
footsteps. I mean, my older is a rule follower.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
the younger one is not, and she does not give a shit what her brother does. She's like, why are you asking?
What a fool you are.
Yeah, like a lot of times we will come down in the morning and if they have woken up before us, they're like watching TV. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah,
I've told you. And my son like turns it off immediately and he's like, he's already like shivering in his boots. My daughter looks at me, she's like, we were watching. With the like the biggest attitude.
I'm like, she's like, it's clear.
No, you need to be ashamed of yourself.
Anyway, where's the shame? Where is the shame?
My husband and I talk about you and your husband a lot in the context of parenting because we're like, they're not that nice to their kids, but their kids, I mean, and I don't mean this dig, but you know, you guys are not like those gentle parents that are like, oh, okay, well, we're going to talk about your feelings. You guys are not like that. No. But somehow you have children who are so well behaved and respectful. And I mean, who knows what's happening behind closed doors, but I need more of this. I need more of this in my life.
Yeah. What you see, I mean, is pretty much what you get. Like, and that is our parenting too. I think 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of this gentle parenting techniques, but we never did timeouts. Like, you know, we didn't do the timeout thing. But yeah, I think there is just something in the personality. I mean, I don't know. We are definitely like stern parents.
Yeah.
We're not yellers, but we're definitely keep a stern. We have stern voices about certain things. So
yeah.
Yeah. No, there's definitely no watching TV without permission in the mornings either. The one thing is my daughter likes to write stories on Google Docs. And so she's constantly on the computer. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm just writing a story. Oh. So like, I don't know where to put the line on that.
Right.
Because I don't want her on the screen all the time.
Yeah. And that's my thing too. My son's like, I'm just doing a puzzle on the, I'm just working on, you know, Wordle. Or he also.
He must love Spelling Bee.
He loves Spelling Bee. He loves those things. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, how can I get mad at that?
Exactly. So yeah, there's a balance, right, between what's good, bad, what you're going to nag about, what you're going to be strict about. But yeah, your little one is a lost cause. There's nothing you can do there.
I need help. SOS.
You can look at me all you want. I don't know.
Pause. I'm looking over at your nightstand here.
In my
is that a
room.
Jello shot? And then like a crystal explosion?
Yes, we had a crystal making kit. And that's where they are growing. Have you done it yet? Has your kids done it? Yeah, there's a crystal making kit and it's just like these powders. And then you put them in water and then you give it 7 days and it grows a crystal.
Oh, dang. What is it?
It looks like salt. If you touch that thing, it's salt. But the white one has, one of them has exploded over the edge. and it looks like Elsa. So I keep sending photos to people with little girls and being like, tell them Elsa came to my house. It definitely looks like that. You should get, you'll get that kit for your old, your little ones.
What's the other thing? It looks like a jello shot.
It's the same. It's just a color. It'll be a colorful crystal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, when I don't just keep jello shots on my nightstand in my
I wouldn't put it past you. It's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
That and Wordle.
We talked about last week how I kind of had a rocky end of the year. And even I think after I spoke to you, did I talk about the knife thing? The knife block thing?
No.
No. So my husband was cleaning. There was a spill on our kitchen counter and my husband was like cleaning up. And so he lifts our knife block, you know, the block, the wooden block that keeps all your knives.
Yeah.
He lifts it up slightly and then wipes under it.
Okay.
And then the knives are sticking out from the bottom. And so he slices his finger, like cuts it real bad.
Whoa, why on the top are they of his sticking finger. Out of the bottom?
So they have slats so that the water runs through and in an air raid. Because knives are supposed to, and knives are all different lengths, right? Yeah. And so you want them to jut up against, the handle needs to hit the block.
Oh, dear.
So that it's safest that way. So he just like lifts it up and then kind of like slices his finger. I mean, it's pretty bad. It's very bloody. His mom and sister are here. And so they are just, oh, mama, no, mom, okay, like just like.
Meltdown. You're like, swabs are, they're just fingers. He doesn't need them.
As long as he has his thumbs, I don't know what the big deal is. But they're just like, you know, alcohol swabs appear from nowhere. We've got, I have to like break into our earthquake kit to get some gauze. We have the biggest Band-Aids you've ever seen. These two, like, so worried, wrapping him up like it's like a triage center at UCLA Med.
You're like, where's the cheesecake?
Yeah, so his mom and sister are just like all over him, like, you know, bandaging him up. And like, they're like trying to, you know, even fix the wooden block so that this could never happen again. But I'm like, no, there's, it's designed a certain way. You can't change it. It's not the block. It's the user. You know, like just.
Yeah, you're not supposed to lift it up.
And yeah, there's sharp things there. So now we've all learned, right? My daughter, my little one, looks at me. She's like, if Jaime and Momo, which is what we call her aunt, if Jaime and Momo weren't here, it would not be this dramatic.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
What were you doing while all this kerfuffle was happening?
You know, sometimes you got to stay out of the way.
You're just watching.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what do I have to contribute here? I don't like blood.
You're on your phone.
Yeah, I'm just like, a Band-Aid should do, right? I don't know. I was like, if you need stitches, I'll text somebody.
Yeah.
Right. There's plenty of people I can text to help you get some stitches. Right. Later that night, my mother-in-law like rolled a wine glass off and it crashed. And so we were just feeling like bad vibes, right?
Oh my God.
So then the next day after all of this, I saged my house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have the biggest block of sage you'll ever see, like the biggest stick. And I just sage the shit out of this place just to clear out the negative.
Yes, we need a cleanse.
Yes. Bring in some positive vibes. So hopefully that works. Your hair is looking good. It reminds me, today I got an Amazon package in the mail. My husband had ordered a few things and he ordered some hair rollers.
For who?
No. So I was like, because he's been worried about hair loss and like hair volume. So I was like, are you planning to put hair rollers in your hair to get some volume?
I'm in my face right now.
Your lip curled, as did mine.
What do they call it? Like the ick?
Were you getting
the ick?
So like, I was like, do you ever want to have sex again?
Yeah.
Once you put a hair roller in, and I'm imagining the gigantic one that the Korean girls wear. Right?
In the bangs.
Right, in the bangs, and you just walk around with a giant roller. Yeah. I was like, you cannot wear rollers. And he's like, no, I just needed it for free shipping. He needed it like next day shipping on something. Okay. And he's like, I know how much you hate to pay for shipping, especially on Amazon. So I had to just throw in something that was $6. So I thought I'd get you these rollers.
Oh, they were for you.
So they were for me. So sweet. But they're like a quarter inch barrel.
What?
And I was like, do you want
They're like this. They're like when you go and get, in Korean, you would say pama, a perm, yes. Like the tight, like ajumma perm.
Do you want me to be Shirley Temple? are we Betty Booping it right now? I was like, he's like, I don't know. I panicked. I needed a $5 thing to get free shipping.
I mean, but also, why was that suggested to him? You exactly. know what I mean? Like, because usually it'll be like suggested for you based on your recent searches.
The emergency item that had to come next day was pomade for his hair. So maybe that's the reason, but it's men's pomade.
Right. Based on your purchase, we assume you would need this.
Yeah, it's definitely based on his searches. So either he's going after Shirley Temple memorabilia, and that's why they think he likes tight curls, or he's been looking for curls.
But I will say, the tight curl look for men, young men, like Gen Z-er men, okay. is really in. Like, what? They like it no. really curly right here. Yeah, I mean, well, my nephew is in a frat. In college.
Yes. In college.
They all have hair like that.
Just these are like just Korean kids?
No, this is a white frat.
A white frat?
And they all have like...
Hey, props to your little nephew for being a white frat. So popular.
He's not so keen on being Korean. Maybe that was the look he's going for.
Oh, can you imagine?
Again. Does he ever want to have sex again?
Does your nephew look cute?
Yeah, it's definitely... the trendy look right now.
Okay.
But I don't think anybody in their 40s can pull it off.
and they should not. Any update on the glycolic acid from your husband? Has he used it yet?
It's unclear.
Well, his feet should make it clear. The state of his feet should make it clear. The thing about the glycolic...
I told him, uh-huh. if you ever want to have sex again, better be putting that on your feet. I have not looked. I haven't had no chance to look lately, but I've been using it.
Ooh, on your feet.
It really is pretty great because TMI, but my feet get kind of crusty too, you know?
Yes.
That's also why I have to get pedicures as much as like I hate the process, you know, and like paying for it and whatever. This is the solve.
Interesting. Because I've tried all the things. Like I have that
the shaver.
Yeah, right? That whirring shaver thing that everyone swears by. It whirs off like my calluses, but it's like a fine ash.
Ew.
So gross.
Oh, yeah, it gets everywhere. Mine is not perfect yet because I did not take many showers this week, but I will do it after my shower. And it's already getting softer. So I highly recommend.
Oh, wow. And you're using the Ordinary one?
Ordinary glycolic. I think it was $10 or $13 for a huge bottle.
All the Ordinary is in that price range, right?
So cheap.
It's suspicious. They're not clean. Oh, they can't be clean for $10. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Also, what is clean these days?
Yeah.
They're all actually toxic. Anything else? Anything else from Christmas that you've been using? We didn't do an ins and outs list like we did last year.
That's right. In, out, navel oranges. Bye-bye, navel oranges. I really wish
Suck you later.
I really wish my oranges would come in. What do you have on your ins list for 2025?
Ins, purging. Mm. I'm in purge mode. So every day I'm purging one part of my house or just like a drawer because otherwise it feels really overwhelming. So out, acquiring more junk.
It can't be the inverse of your in. My in is playing more piano this year. Because we're finally getting a piano.
Ooh.
Just a friend up the street moved and they want to get rid of theirs, so we're bringing it into our house. And I've tried to play. I played piano for a very long time when I was a child. And so I have a lot of pieces that I want to play, but it's just useless on a keyboard. We've had this stinky keyboard. It just is not the same. And so I'm very excited to get a real piano and do that this year. So that's my in.
I have a similar in. Mine was just to like do more of the hobbies and I play the cello. I also play the piano and they've just been sitting around not being played. And then because I had taken golf lessons, the third one was to do golf like more frequently. So, yeah. More hobbies, more like taking care of what I want to do.
Yep. Oh, my other in is wearing fragrance.
Oh,
I've never worn fragrances, but then I hug people. And they smell so good. Mm. And I'm like, oh, I want to smell good too. It's just like just elevates you.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I've been doing more fragrance.
Oh, what are you doing?
I got the Le Labo Te Matcha.
Oh, like a green tea?
You can come over here and smell me if you want. Okay. It's hard to describe. And La Lava was like very, almost like masculine and like musky. Everyone can hear your sinuses. What do you think?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's not overly floral, but mm-hmm. also not heavily masculine. I feel like the La Labo Santal was just so popular.
So popular. Everyone you hugged smelled
Everyone
like
smells like it, and like you know exactly. And it's pretty, I think, overwhelming. I mean, it's a nice smell, but it overwhelms me sometimes. It's like pretty strong. But this is nice. It's subtle.
A good one. Yeah. And I do the spray and walk through. Mm. So it's not like overwhelmingly on me.
In your face. Yeah.
Otherwise, I give myself allergies. I'm very sensitive to smell, actually. My other in thing. Clearly, we have a lot of in. We can think of a lot of ins and not that many outs. My other in thing is catching up on all of the spy dramas that are out there right now.
What?
So, did you watch Black Dove?
Obscure. Yes. Okay. Well, actually, I haven't finished it, but right. Yes. I did start it.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of them. There's Black Dove, Slow Horses, The Agency. There's a Jackal one. Like, there's a ton of these spy shows. The Diplomat was quite good. So, I'm into this spy genre right now. Another in.
Oh, I have had a new face. You know the
you've got
little,
me one
like,
of those. Yes.
I don't know what you call it, microcurrent things, and has not been charged or used in a long time. So my thing is I'm going to use that 3 times a week.
Have you tried it recently? Because I tried charging mine that you gave me because I also brought it out.
It doesn't work?
It didn't work. Yeah. So you might want to see if it charges. So out might be new face broken into the trash.
Well, out is going to be TikTok pretty soon.
Yes. I think that will really help with my out, which is doom scrolling on TikTok. Out is instant ramen for lunch for me on a day when I'm like just feeling very frantic at home. I just did that way too much in 2024.
Wow.
Yes. Like,
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Because it'll be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been in meetings all day. I finally look up. I'm like, there's nothing to eat. And there's no part of me that wants to make a thing. And so I'll just instant ramen it up. And I would probably do that once a week.
Do you?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, once every 2 weeks for sure. So I'm going to stop that.
Yes.
Out.
Good.
Oh, did you read the New York Times article about ultra processed foods?
Yes.
And did you do the quiz?
I did.
Oh my God. What was your score?
I only picked one thing that was ultra processed.
I think I picked 3. Very surprising, some of the things.
It is. It is. And I mean, that's like been a big out for me for a while now. Yes. And so like I've become very conscious of it. But even like I picked granola thinking granola is like, you know, you have whole ingredients that you just bake. So it can't be bad. But man, all that stuff. And actually what concerns me is so much of the kids' snacks.
Yeah.
Is processed.
Like that. Okay, so there's an article in New York Times about ultra processed foods and basically how it's so prevalent. And we think it's like Cheetos and chips and Taco Bell, but actually a lot of them supposedly like organic and natural things that we're leaning towards buying actually are filled with a lot of these fillers. Soy lecithin and xanthan, and that. And so actually like the one that was surprising to me was the Nature's Bakery fig bars.
Yes.
Which, you know, aren't the fig Newtons we grew up with. And they have gluten-free ones, so I just give my kid. I think like things that are gluten-free always have some kind of filler.
And even things that, you know, they're vegan. So we have associated that to be healthy.
Yeah.
But in fact, how they make it vegan is by adding all of these non-whole foods.
Yes.
And even yogurts, they have so many fillers and a ton of sugar. So in for me is I'm going to start making my own yogurt. And growing my own vegetables.
Ooh, didn't I give you, was it your birthday? I gave you a packet of seeds of like Asian veggies, Korean veggies.
Korean veggies. And we're redoing our backyard right now. So we have a landscape architect and I'm showing her all of the seeds that I've been saving. And I'm like, where would this go well? And like, how would this survive? And so we were planning out where things would be planted. And I'm really excited about it. So that will mean many kogi grilling nights with fresh vegetables.
Nice. So anyway, that quiz is very eye-opening for those of us who are trying to shop better at the grocery store. So yeah, I think as we are trying to enrich our bodies, we are also trying to enrich our minds. And it was nice to watch some quality prestige television finally for this podcast.
And to watch it all in one sitting. Because, you know, we restrain ourselves a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I loved the fact that I could zip through multiple of them in a night.
Yes. So we are talking about Squid Game Season 2. We're not going to talk nuts and bolts, I think, of each episode. We're going to try to just do more of a high level thoughts and takeaways. So as a refresher, Squid Game 2 is a sequel to Squid Game 1, which came out just over 3 years ago. It became very quickly and still remains Netflix's most watched series. It won a ton of awards. Yeah, what? It's still most streamed. Yeah, still.
Not
a Korean, no, like of global.
Of all shows? Yeah.
So that's why. So this. So the director, Hwang Dong-hyuk, has said in many interviews, he only meant this to be a one season thing, but Netflix is basically trying to build IP on this. Like, we've watched the reality competition. Did you watch that one? The Squid Game Challenge?
Yeah, I did watch it.
You know what was so funny is the Squid Game Challenge, there was a mother-son pairing in that.
Yeah.
And then now we have one in season two as well.
Art imitating life.
Yes. So Netflix obviously is trying to capitalize on this IP. So we have season two. The directors also said that season two should be taken with season three together. Like, clearly this was a cliffhanger.
Yes.
And so we should be getting a season three, hopefully in this next year.
Did you also see when you Google Squid Game? And this might be just on mobile, but when you Google Squid Game, the Squid Game symbol pops up. When you press on it, that Bugunga girl shows up, the one who...
Younghee?
The shooting girl?
Girl, the red light, green light girl.
Yeah, and you get to play red light, green light with a bunch of players.
Oh, cool.
I mean, you're playing alone, but you have a bunch of little characters, and you have to press stop and start. It's fun.
But this is the IP-ification of it, right? Like, we're going to make games. We're going to sell this, like, merch. It's going to be a three-season series when it should have only been one. And I do think we feel it a little bit.
Yeah, I think they were forcing some of it. And
I think a little bit of season one was, like, we were so surprised.
It was completely unknown and really caught many of us off guard, really, by, like, the violence and by the unique kind of games.
And then, the visuals,
yeah,
you know?
The visuals. And then it was a lot of the same, and I think that's maybe why it felt flat for some people.
This time, I think the real difference of how we took it in as viewers is, oh, wait, we know exactly what's going to happen. The only people who don't know are the participants in the games. And so you watch them ask these naive questions, and it really turns the way that you kind of view the show now, because in the first time around, you're like, I don't know what is going to happen. And now you're like, oh, you sucker. Like, this is not going to end well for you.
Nothing is as good as the first time.
No.
But overall, what did you think about the show?
I liked the variation in characters this time around and the relationships that were built. I loved Gong Yoo's episode.
Of course you would.
Of course I would. I actually wanted more of him.
Yeah, I was shocked that they killed him off so quickly.
It's like they only get him for one ep.
Yep.
And they really maximized him this time. Overall, you know, the tone and the feel felt very similar to last time. And so there is a nostalgia to it. There were enough twists and turns to keep me interested. How about you?
I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. There's just a different kind of enjoyment to being able to binge something.
Yeah.
And every night, I mean, I would watch like two episodes a night, and every night the next day I'd be like, I can't wait for the kids to go to sleep because I'm so excited to watch. So I thought it was really entertaining. I really enjoyed the kind of nuance in characters. And I think there was a bit of like a darkness to this season that it didn't have the same kind of like lightness, even though it was obviously very violent and graphic season one. I felt like there were a lot of light moments and there were fewer of those here. But I felt like the characters were like, there was more opportunity to get to know all the different like layers to them and some of their background. And I think there was a lot of commentary on maybe even Korea as a society and some of the like stratification of class and the struggle of being a society that has financially flourished so quickly.
People get left behind.
Yeah. And I think this idea, I mean, we talk about this also when we watch a lot of dramas, right? Why is everyone in debt?
And a lot of them were driven to debt from medical circumstances. Yes.
Right. And I read an article It was in Teen Vogue.
Teen Vogue is still around.
I know. But this woman, who's a Korean woman, wrote her analysis and review of it. It's very well done. But she explains, because she, I think, has lived in Korea, that the when you have like small injuries, the patient fee is pretty nominal in Korea. But when you have like a chronic illness or you're poor, you end up paying disproportionately higher out of pocket expenses if you're poor.
Oh, interesting.
So that's, you know, also goes to show why so many people are suffering with medical debt.
Also, I think maybe there's this like lending culture in Korea that is different.
Yeah, loan shark culture. Maybe banks aren't lending in the same way that they do here.
I think what's interesting about Squid Game is that regardless of what culture you're in, not having enough money, not being able to feed your children, not being able to pay your bills, that is universally true. Right. And also this like classism, and basically the games are a stand-in for capitalism and the powers that be. And so all of that is relatable to everybody, no matter what culture you're in.
Yeah. And it says a lot, I think, about just us as humans and like the greed that motivates us to betray a friend or betray your family.
A lot of commentary on human nature. I think this season felt darker because our lead protagonist, player 456, Ki-hoon, is so dark in this season. And he kind of entered season one as like a bumbling fool. You know, he was like a ne'er-do-well, down on his luck kind of guy. This guy, he is a man on a mission. You can tell he carries the burden of all the deaths from his games. So his darkness, I think, translates into this season.
Yes. Yeah.
There was a few twists in this season that made it a little bit more interesting. The first big twist was that after every game, all of the players can X or O if they want to stay or leave the game. And whatever side wins, they can leave, but this time they can take the money in the bank and split it.
And divvy it up, yes.
The other twist was that 001.
He was the masked man.
The front man.
Who's a front man. And you see the scene where he takes off his mask and then the chair is empty, where he's been watching all the games through a screen. And the last person to vote in the X and O ends up voting O to stay. And his number is 001. And it is a front man. Lee Byung-hun,
who's very famous.
Very famous. And I had mentioned this maybe in like two podcasts, or maybe it was last podcast, about my favorite drama of all time. It was All In, and he was main character in that. He was much, much younger. He's very famous, but has like a weird reputation because he has a beautiful wife, and everyone thought like she was so lucky to be with him. But in fact, he had been cheating on her and had like tried to solicit some women. And one of them was going to be like, was debuting in a girl group. Like, all the like text message in the Kakao came out. Then they tried to blackmail him.
Oh.
And then he, I think, sued them.
Classic.
I mean, all, yeah. And so, but the wife stayed with him, which I found to be so odd. And so like, he's very well respected as an actor, but I think people just don't think that highly of him.
I see. It feels like Me Too is very selective in Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it was fair that the front man can come in and tip the scales in the game. Like the old man last season.
He was like merely there as decoration. He was there to have a good time for himself.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you know, for us to have some heartstrings pulled.
Yes.
This time, front man is there as 001, almost like as an undercover spy.
Yeah.
He's like planting ideas in Gi-hun's head.
I was naively hoping that he would have a turnaround.
Yes.
You know, he like sees the plight of these people and also how devastating it is to become close to someone and lose them in an instant because of some game, and that he would stop the games altogether.
Because we saw some humanity in him when he didn't shoot his brother in the head.
Yeah.
Last season.
Right.
He shot him in the shoulder.
Yes.
And, you know, gave him a fighting chance. Like, if you can survive these waves, then maybe. And he actually got picked up by that captain of the boat who is now in this season.
And who must be working with the front man.
Right. So did the front man actually send that captain to go save his brother
right.
in the ocean? I mean, there's always season three, but he does straight up kill
Ki-hoon's best friend.
Yeah.
And the words like the parting words and actually the last words of the entire show are, oh, now do you feel like such a hero?
He's kind definitely
of, it was like, I mean, great acting on his part, because he showed also a lot of humanity to the pregnant girl. Mm-hmm. You know, he was showing a lot of care to all the players. And I thought it was, I kind of didn't understand what he was trying to accomplish by joining the game.
It was at all just to say, I told you so.
Yeah. Or, yeah. And to like fuck with Kiyun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be like, you are such an optimist about people.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they're just greedy pigs.
Yeah. Look at what's happened in this pit. I think there's also a statement here about hero complex.
Mm.
This isn't the best analogy, but in Devil's Plan, which was an actual reality show about teams pitting against each other in survival, Orbit. Remember that guy, Orbit?
Yeah. He's kind of like, looks a little bit older.
Right? A YouTuber guy.
Always wore a sweater.
Yeah. He had this hero complex of like, I can see above the rest. All of you are playing this rat race. I will lead you to the finish because I'm smarter and I know better than everybody. And it actually was a turnoff to the other people in the game.
Right. When because like you're that. Also, when you act that way, you diminish other people's like individuality and their agency, and you make them feel as though they can't think for themselves.
Right.
And I think similarly, Ki-hoon, I mean, his intention was so pure because he's like, I've been through this. Yet many of these people really needed the money, you know, and they're like, how do you know it's not worth my life?
His hero complex got his best friend killed. And I think that's what Frontman is trying to say.
Exactly.
Look what you did. Because you know what? Like Jongbae, right? That's the best friend's name.
Yes.
He could have made it to the end, but he got pulled into his revolutionary, let's take down the man vortex. And he ended up getting killed for it. He could have won that thing. But actually, the only person who kept him from that was
Kiyun. Yeah. We also need to talk about Hyunju. I have a real soft spot for him now. He has been in 3 of the shows that we have recapped because he was in... Oh, wait. No, we didn't do Glory. But he was in Glory.
That's right.
And then he was in Queen of Tears. And now in this show.
Hyunju is played by...
Park Seong-hoon.
And the director had said that he really tried to find an actual trans actor to play this part. But it was like, quote unquote, nearly impossible.
I mean,
in Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just not a thing.
And I was so blown away by this character because he's a transgender woman, former special forces in the army.
It also looks like her character was influenced by the story of South Korea's first known trans soldier. Byun Hyo-soo is what I've written down.
Oh, wow. Really?
2021, Byun was found dead in her home at age 23. She'd been discharged from the military the year before for having gender-affirming surgery in Thailand, just like Hyunju is trying to pay for.
Yes.
The army's reasoning was the loss of genitals was a disability. And so,
damn.
Of course, Byun appealed the decision. I'm reading from an article, tearfully pleading for a chance to serve her country again, but it wasn't until after her death that a court ruled that her discharge was illegal.
Wow.
Isn't that sad? So, yeah, very clearly based on that.
I really applaud the director for taking that leap because it's definitely not in the mainstream. He didn't have to do that, but he's like bringing so much awareness. And I think that inches people. And the culture
closer. Yeah. When you see the old grandma.
Yes.
Oh, she's fine. She's great. She's a woman. And like lets her in the bathroom and is comforting other women that, oh yeah, no, she's great. She's with us.
And like wants to know her story.
Yeah.
Even though initially her son's like, what you said? She looks so weird. there were some light moments throughout this.
And I love that she's the badass.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I know. It's like it almost, especially in a culture like Korea that values that kind of masculinity and going to the military, she's like redeeming herself in these men's eyes that she can go toe-to-toe.
And is braver than the big
Marine
guy, right?
Who's shaking in his boots.
Do we want to talk about the rapper at all?
Oh, of course. Okay, if you
important
know.
To you. He's not important to me.
Oh, my God. He was my obsession.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Because he's from Big Bang. Yes. I mean, by this point, I was already like out of college. So, okay.
You can still be obsessed.
As a little extreme. But Because when I was in high school, H.O.T. was hot and there was a guy that I really liked. And now he's like an old Ajushi. And then...
Tony?
Not Tony. Uhyuk. Oh. But then he was also the rapper. And then...
You like a rapper.
I do like a rapper. And then by the time I got to college, Big Bang had come out and I... Or maybe it was post-college. But he was my obsession and I was watching him and I realized... He looks a lot like what my husband used to look like. Mm. He was not a Najashi. It's like, no wonder. I've got a type. But he famously had gone under wraps for a long time because he was caught with weed. Mm. And, you know, Big Bang has had like its issues.
Share of controversy. Share of, yeah, controversy. Well, G-Dragon is Big Bang, right? Isn't he coming back soon? Yeah.
He's back now. T.O.P. has been like MIA because... Society just Korean society thinks very poorly about people who do drugs.
But then he comes on the show as a big druggie.
Yeah. And so my husband and I were talking about this. Like, it must be really rampant in club culture. And, you know, Seungmi, who was one of the Big Bang members, he was arrested and jailed for he had a club called Burning Sun. This was one of the Big Bang members' clubs, and he was facilitating like girls and drugging them, and rape was happening, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, so I T.O.P. love him.
It just is so interesting to me that you have gotten in so much trouble in society for doing drugs, and then you come onto a show, and instead of playing a really nice guy, you're playing a druggie.
Yeah. So in the midst of all the netizens criticizing him, the director Hwang was like, I applaud him for his bravery, for stepping into the fire.
Right. The one storyline that I was like, what's up with?
Oh, God, I missed that. What's up with?
I was walking with my friend, the friend that you're stealing from me, the weighted vest friend.
Oh, is that why she doesn't call me anymore?
Yeah.
You've taken her back.
I got my weighted vest, so we went on a walk.
Oh, how is it?
It's so good. My legs were so sore.
You feel like you had... a gym workout, right?
I thought my shoulders would be sore, but it's actually my legs were really sore because we did a lot of hills, which is what you're supposed to do. Anyway, and it was just in the middle of the conversation, she goes, what's up with? I was like, I'm glad that's catching on. What's up with Junho, the brother, and this search for the island? They literally made no progress.
Didn't in the last it. 3 years.
Yeah. Like zero. The boss is like, I need proof. I need proof. I'm like, you know what? There's 500 people who disappear on the same exact day every year. There's shishi TV everywhere. You can go looking around on these subways and go find the most handsome man in Korea who's slapping people in the subways. It's just like the only recourse is to just scour the ocean in a boat. It just felt like a total weird waste of time.
Well, and they spent like an entire...
So many.
2 episodes on that. Well, I mean, I assumed that it was because he felt like his brother, his stepbrother, had fallen off the deep end. And he's trying to figure out why.
I mean, I get that he's on a mission to stop this game. And this is my whole feeling about Gi-hun too, is you're such the underdog. Like, what is your plan? What was your plan,
right,
sir?
Right. He had no plan.
He had the chip in his tooth that like did not... work to track anybody to this island. He gets there. He thinks, again, hero complex. Like, I'm just going to talk some reason into you guys. Yes. Trust me, I've done this before. And in fact, he...
With no evidence.
He's like, don't worry, it's Dalgona next. I'm like, fool. Like, obviously, they're not going to play the same game and undermine you this way. It's so disheartening because ultimately the message is revolutionaries rarely win.
And I kept, even by the last episode, I was like... What is he going to do when he gets to the control room?
And like, you shoot the front man? That's not going to end any of this. Yeah. He's not the guy.
Yeah. As long as we are a capitalistic society and we're human.
Yeah.
This will continue.
The way Gong Yoo says is, as long as there's trash in the world.
Yeah.
This will still continue.
Yeah.
We're all dogs. We're all trash. Again, what the creators of the game always say, no one forced you here and no one's forcing you to stay.
Yeah.
And so... these are just vulnerable people and they're willing to exploit themselves as much as possible physically and morally in order to try to make a little bit better for themselves. So are these people and us trapped in a corrupt system, in a corrupt society, or are we, because of our actions, like innate to human beings and our nature, corrupting the systems ourselves?
Mm. It's a chicken or the egg problem.
Anyway, okay. Anything else from Squid Game?
What did you think about the ending?
I love that he didn't get a win because it's so improbable that this like half-brained revolutionary stunt was going to actually do anything and that he was going to get an upper hand. So I felt realistic. I also feel like very much in despair. Like, what is your exit from this? Like, how are we going to get out of this?
I am curious of what the frontman 001, why he kept Ki-hoon alive.
Yeah.
Like, what's he going to do with him now?
It's almost like, is he going to be waking up and he's just going to be forced to watch this the rest of the games, you know, and that's his punishment. We have an entire season to look forward to.
Another 3 years?
I hope
Jeez,
not.
Jeez, we're going to be old-ass women by then.
It shouldn't be. I think they've already filmed it. I did see there was a little bit of a leak online of the North Korean shooter's Instagram that has been since taken down.
Oh,
she's in the pink suit relaxing, and behind her is another actor. So it's like behind the scenes. They're chilling.
Yeah.
And the actor sitting next to her in a pink suit, you can see from his profile, they say, is the dad of the girl from the amusement park.
Ooh.
Who's supposedly dead, right? They shot him.
They shot him. Yeah. During the shootout, he was shot.
So they're saying, like, was that a leak that he's actually going to be, she, like, got him a mask and now he's on the pink
side.
Oh,
damn. Yeah. Actually, now that you say that, I remember the last frame was, like, something about season 3 in 2025.
Okay. It's coming. Great. Okay. That was Squid Game season 2. All in one, baby. What do we have next?
The long-awaited Singles Inferno is back.
Jan 14. We are very excited about that. It's quite a palate cleanser to the Squid Game episodes we just watched. I hope everybody is having a good 2025 so far.
I hope the K-Watch party is in.
Yes. And not listening to the K-Watch party is out. We also hope anybody who is being affected by the fires or our families are in the fires, be safe, be well. We will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.